Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. We have a very exciting episode for you today. I am joined by a special guest host. Special guest host, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, yes. My name is Kelly Schott, and I am the community manager with the CR Network. So hello.
Hello, Kelly. We're so excited to have you. And in addition to Kelly, which is already an exciting addition to the podcast, we are joined by not one, but two special guests today. We have two of the very talented women from Pearson, Dina Vicaria and Maren Beckman. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
I would love if you could take a minute and each introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about working at Pearson and the kind of communities that you work with.
You go for it, Maren. You start us off.
Alrighty. Hi, I'm Maren Beckman. I am based in Columbus, Ohio. This is my 16th year working for Pearson. And I actually joined the communities team 4 years ago. Dina was actually like someone that I looked up to. And now I get to work with her. So it's a really cool thing. Our community is primarily internal. We do have some external where we work with vendors and people like that that, you know, help us in our organization. But it's primarily internal. So that's the kind of community we run.
Awesome. Well, I'm not going to go into the community side of things because Maren did that perfectly. But my name is Dina. I am have been with Pearson for about 12 years now, just over 12 years. But I've been doing communities for just over 6.5 years. And it's been an amazing ride. You know, I'm based in London, so I'm with Kim England, who's our manager, and we're both based out of London.
So that segues me so nicely into our first question. If anyone follows you on Twitter or sort of follows along in the network, you guys work so closely together, and it seems like you have such a great relationship with each other, but you are literally separated by an entire ocean, thousands of miles. And we get a lot of feedback from people that it's hard to work remotely from your team, or it's hard not to be physically where their team is. And then so much of the work we do as community managers is sort of remote collaboration across offices, across continents. I would love to hear your perspective on how you cultivate that kind of relationship. Obviously, you sort of have to like each other as people, but you're physically very far apart, and yet you seem so close. And how does that work for you guys?
I really do think that it's because each of us have like very different, well, Kim and I are very similar in personality, but Maren couldn't be more different to Kim and I. And we love that because where Kim and I are going like, ooh, exciting. Maren's like, now, ladies, I mean, to think about this. So she really does bring us down a little bit, but in the most wonderful way possible. And I think that the dynamics between the three of us is exactly why we're so close. And, you know, we love each other. That's how it is. They're like family to me. I go to them, even when we're not working. We have a WhatsApp group and we're always talking in the evenings when we should be spending time with our families. We're like WhatsApping each other, telling each other about what's going on in our day. And just, I think that's what makes us quite close. I don't know. How about you, Maren? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with everything Dina said. And I was the last one to join the team. And Kim was very thoughtful about how she brought me into the team. So she goes into London 2 or 3 days a week. And so she made sure our team meetings are when she's at home so that I'm not looking at both of them in a room. And that would have never occurred to me, but it was just a very thoughtful way so that we're all on like even footing. I was lucky last week I got to go to London for a week and work with them, which was amazing. And Dina and I talk every day, even if it's just a 5-minute check-in. You know, if she's had a chance to talk with Kim or I've had a chance to talk with Kim about something, we'll catch each other up. Communication is key. And we genuinely like each other. It really is. They are part of my family. We've met each other's husbands and families, and it's just a big love fest. We really, really do, and we respect each other.
And that's it. Like, right? It's the consideration part for me here, and the respect here is that you know, Marin is very mindful of our working style and the hours that we work, as am I for her and for Kim and for each of us. And I think that is the most important thing, is to take into consideration how we all work, how we all like to work. Like Marin, your hours, you know, you're obviously based on the Eastern, in the US, but like you work different hours, or you set your hours so you can work easily with Kim and I as well.
Right. I try and log in early so my day overlaps with as much as your day as possible. And they'll jump on a call in their evening if they need to, if we need to talk about something. So we're really flexible, and the communication is really important. And I think we're really, really good at it because we work at it. We make it a priority.
And can I also say that Marin does the cutest thing? Like, I wish I was more thoughtful like this. And I say this to her, and I say this to anyone that will listen, I wish I was more thoughtful, because every now and again, I'll get a random post and it'll be a card and it'll be from Marin, because obviously Marin has like stationery because she's so proper, but she will send me like little thank you cards, and it would just say the most sweetest things, like just thank you for listening, or thank you for working on this with me, and whatever it is. But I'll randomly get them, and they really do like make my day, because I just don't think we do enough of that. And she handwrites these notes as well, so it makes it really special. And I think those things are what really do bring us closer together. And she delivers the most amazing chocolates from her hometown, which is, you know, it's always the right thing to do with me. You send me chocolates.
So I love that you really focused around consideration and respect for each other, and chocolates always win as well. So that's always a great idea. But you talked a little bit about time zones and navigating that and being open to kind of going outside of your time zone a little bit to kind of work with each other. I'm really curious, and this is kind of a topic that comes up quite a bit with remote teams and global teams. How do you navigate time zone management? Are there tools, or how do you kind of go into that a little bit more and really make it easy for everyone to be involved well? Kind of what are your key strategies with time zone management?
Well, for me, it helps that I'm a morning person. So getting up early, they're 5 hours ahead of me. So, well, right this week, they're 4 hours ahead of me. We have the fun time zone difference now. But just be like, and that's one thing that I do, like I go through every year and put in when the time zones change so that we know for a week or two, or instead of 5 hours, we're going to be 4 hours, or we're going to be 6 hours, or whatever it is. And just, you know, we kind of, if something's going on, if I have a doctor's appointment, or so one of us needs to run an errand, we'll just say, hey, this is what I'm up to tomorrow. I'm going to be out for such and such a time. I'll be back in. You know, WhatsApp me if you really need something. We're just really, it's about the communication. Dina, do you?
Completely. Like, yeah, I mean, to the point where we're telling each other where we are. And I think it's more about perspective as well, is that, you know, it's always good to tell each other where we are. So then if somebody says, oh, where's Dina? Kim and Marin can confidently say, oh, no, she's at an appointment. You know, it means that we're all checking in with each other and all working together. And as for time zones, you know, we're lucky that, you know, Marin's not on the West Coast or like somewhere even further. It's only really a 5 hour difference. So we make it work. And as Marin is very much a morning person, Kim and I are both very much night owls. Like we sometimes work until like late evening. Even, you know, I do my best work after 10 p.m., which is ridiculous, but that's how I work. I do my best work when it's nighttime. And it's just very lucky that it's worked out that way for us with the 5 hour time difference between Marin and Kim and I.
I have two questions I should have asked up front. The first is, you've mentioned WhatsApp a few times. What do you use as a collaboration tool internally for your team?
We recently moved to Microsoft 365. So we use Teams to work internally when we're kind of doing the IMing in the back and forth.
And is the communities you work with, are they on Microsoft or a different platform?
Our community Neo is that, well, not everyone has moved to Microsoft yet. They're still transitioning everyone across. I believe I read somewhere that 80% have moved across. So at the moment, we're some people are still using Google Hangouts because we did have Google, and most people are on Teams. But eventually, by the end of the year, we'll all be using Teams as a way to use for kind of instant messaging. not the community aspect at all. This is more about the instant messaging.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, we're on Jive. Our community Neo is on Jive. We do, of course, work in that as well. But for the day-to-day, like instant messaging, like Dina said, we're in Teams now.
Awesome. Thank you. And so switching gears a little bit, but also kind of tying back into how you all work together. In fun news, you both recently took home the CR Connect 2019 awards, which is so exciting. And so, Dina, you got the 2019 Community MVP, and Marin, you were recognized as the CR Network Journaler for 2019. So congratulations again. We've said it a bunch and we'll continue to say it. Thank you for all that you've brought to the CR Network, and thank you for participating as you have. So I wanted to kind of open up a little bit of space to hear your perspective on your wins and sort of reflecting on those awards and what they kind of mean to you and how you really think about community in that way.
This is going to sound, because, and I'm not just saying this because I'm doing the podcast with you guys, but for me personally, your award meant a lot to me. And I think it, you know, I'm lucky to have a number of awards on the mantelpiece as such, given to me by various different companies, but yours meant the most. And I say this because it's about the community managers, right? The community roundtable, it's about upskilling and it's about nurturing all of us as community managers. The other awards I have received, you know, they were from companies like, you know, got one from Aurea and Jive and things like that. And they are wonderful. But this one means more because it's more about what I do as a community manager and the things that I share with fellow community managers, because I'm never one to hoard my skills and say mine. At any opportunity, I will share what I have learned. I will share what I do so I can help other people. I've done so many webinars to show people how to use different things, because it's all about upskilling everyone around you to be able to do what you do. So getting the award from the CR was a real special one for me. And when I look at the awards that we've got for our team, that one stands out to me the most. And it's the most prettiest as well, with the horse.
Give that shout out to Shannon for that award. That was it's a pretty one.
Yeah, it's great. It's very, very pretty. Thank you guys again for recognizing us. I have to say, it was toward the end of my day, and so I was kind of off email and then back on email, and I saw that Dina had won hers before I saw that I won mine, and I actually teared up when I saw that she won hers, because I was so happy and excited, and just, it was, and then to find out I won one too, I was like, yay. But it, like, Dina is the MVP. She just is. And to have her recognized by the community roundtable was just awesome. I'm very happy and excited for her. And it's when you work with someone and you see what they go through day in and day out and how much they care, and then to see them get recognized for that, it makes you feel like things are right in the world, you know?
So first of all, this is not about me. I've done my
bit. I know. I'm going to talk about mine now too. But I just wanted to say,
she does this all the time.
I just wanted to say, I was really, really, really thrilled to see that she had won that. So, but from I was really excited for my award too, because I'm newer to the team, so I don't have the number of awards that Dina does. And it was really exciting. I really, really care a lot about Work Out Loud. Work Out Loud to me is just, it holds me accountable. And I'm one of those people that I need a little bit of accountability. Like, if I tell someone I'm going to do something, then I do it because they're counting on me. Like, being reliable is really important to me. And so the Work Out Loud thread really helps me do that. I actually fill it out every week. I'm supposed to do it. I have it in my calendar at 11:30 in the morning, but oftentimes it doesn't happen until later in the afternoon or even until Wednesday, but I get there eventually. Then what I do is I send the link to, once I've done it, I send the link to Kim, my manager, and then I take a screenshot of my list for the week. And then that's my, like, to-do list, and I go in throughout the week and like cross off the things that I've done. So it really is a tool that I use throughout the week to help me do my job and to keep me on track with what I need to do. It's also allowed me to, sometimes things are out of your control as far as, you know, things come up or whatever. And it's helped me to be kind to myself and know that, yeah, I may not have gotten everything done on my to-do list this week, but this, you know, five other things came up and it's okay. I was still working. I still was trying. I still was giving it my all. I just have to be flexible, and I can get a little rigid sometimes. And so that's really helped me to see that when you're listing out what you've done for the week, even if you didn't check off what you plan to do, if you have these, like I call them additions that you've done, you're still showing that, yes, I contributed. I did my part, even if it wasn't what I had planned to do. So I really enjoy the Workout Loud community and everyone on there and reading what they're doing and helping each other out. And it's just, it's really been wonderful for me.
I have to say, I am also a big believer in adding to your to-do list. Sometimes I'm like, oh, but I did all these things. And sometimes it's like, I vacuumed the den and I took out the, but I do think it's really important, you know, personally or professionally. Your week gets in the way. And I think it's really important to remember to acknowledge, yeah, this is what I set out to do, but actually I accomplished all these other things too. That's really important. For anyone not familiar with Workout Loud, Kelly, can you give us a little bit of an overview for someone who might be sitting there being like, I don't even know what they're talking about?
Sure. So in the CR network, we have a weekly thread that we put up every week without fail. And we just essentially ask members to share what they're working on. So as big or as small, as specific or as general, really kind of going through and saying, what are your priorities for the week and what would I like to get done? And so I think Maren said it really well, too, is being able to reflect on what you did and didn't finish and what that means for you and kind of that being the key value of what this is and allowing other members to get a look into what you're doing and see how we can all support each other as well as that accountability aspect. So weekly threads where we all just kind of get to know each other a little bit more.
Thank you. So this next question, I'm going to move away from sort of this and the network and your awards a little bit, but for the last few years, the Pearson community team has had a People of Pearson vlog series. And to me, it seemed like a really great way of engaging your audience to create content for your audience. And I really love it. I would love to hear about sort of how it got started. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, video, that's not for me. But I think video can be for anyone. So any ideas you have for people who might be hesitant?
So the People of Pearson vlog, it started on one Tuesday evening when I was watching YouTube and I was watching some of my favorite vloggers that I'm subscribed to. And I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be really cool if I started a vlog, but it wasn't about me. It was about the people that work at Pearson, the people behind all of the wonderful products and services that we have. So I emailed Kim and I said, look, I've got this idea. I don't know how great it's going to be. I could do one and it could fail spectacularly and then we'll be done with it. But I just want to try something different. And I want to use a medium like video because, you know, video is one of those kind of things that you can consume quite easily. So I emailed her and I said, should we try this? And she literally emailed me back within 5 minutes and was like, yes, like do it. So then began the journey of actually figuring out how to do it because, you know, yes, I know how to use a camera, but doing a setup with like tripod and, you know, lighting and microphone and things like that, like, you know, I'd have to learn all of that. That's not even going into the fact that I'm going to have to learn how to edit these vlogs. So then, you know, cue me going onto YouTube and learning how to edit using Adobe Premiere Pro and just figuring it out as I go along. You know, so my first vlog started in my garden. So the way the vlogs work is that it starts off with me kind of introducing this month's theme of what it was going to be, and then a little bit about me, about that theme. And then I shoot it over to people that work at Pearson all over the world. to hear their stories about that particular theme. Now, what was really important for us was to make sure that it was truly global, and it was also providing a voice to the people that work at Pearson who wouldn't normally think they have one, because they work remotely, they're in their office at home, and they are not part of a hub as such, a main hub. So it was important for us to give those people a voice. So the themes every month change from things like, you know, your Pearson proud moment, or what have you worked on this year that you're most proud of, or what are you looking forward to in at the end of the year. We'd have one like, what are your goals for the next following year and things like that. So it'd have a different topic each month. And, you know, not everyone who I reached out to were comfortable giving me back a video, because as you said, not everyone feels comfortable being in front of a camera. And for those, it's really hard to just say, jump in like I did, because, you know, so I do like taking the good selfie or good, you know, taking a good photo here and there. But the minute you put me in front of a video, I clam up because I'm like, oh, I've got to speak and they can see my face. So I literally did it in my garden so that nobody could see me. And it was me on my own. And obviously I can make as many mistakes as I want, because no one's going to know, because when I cut the video, all they're going to see is a polished version. They're not going to see me fluffing up my lines and whatever it is. So I started off doing it on my own and privately. And then as soon as I was doing more and more, I got comfortable with holding the camera in my face and walking. And I would do that at 80 Strand, which is our office in London. So when we had the particular vlog around innovation, our innovation jam, I was like a roving reporter style vlogger for that event. And, you know, people were around me and I was nervous to be putting a camera in front of my face and like speaking to a camera. But because I had done so many before and doing them in my garden, just getting used to the camera, I was able to then just stick the camera in my face in front of other people and talk and walk and at the same time. So, you know, I say for those who are nervous, jump in, but that's easier said than done. I think another tip that I learned recently, I was lucky enough to introduce a storytelling breakfast by a company who use storytelling and video as their medium. And they invited me to a storytelling breakfast where I kind of talked about how we do it at Pearson and how I did it through the blogs. And, you know, while we were talking, there were some people that said to me, what if you're nervous to go on camera? You know, and one of the things that came out of it was, well, if you're nervous, dip your feet in by doing an audio instead, just like this podcast, where if somebody doesn't want to be in front of a camera because they don't want to show their face, you can make it an audio recording. And on the video, you can put a picture and, you know, you can have the audio on top of their picture. That makes it a little bit less intimidating for them. So that was a great tip that came out of that event. But yeah, I mean, you know, anyone who knows me knows that I love telling stories and doing these vlogs. You know, we did 2 years, so that was 24 vlogs, and that was one a month. And, you know, we ended that vlog series in June of this year because, you know, doing a vlog every month, it took a toll on top of all the day job and all the stuff on NIA that we do. It was a lot of work. And while it was wonderful work, it was a healthy time to stop the vlogs when it was on a high, because what I didn't want to do is keep doing the vlogs and then people find them boring or people don't want to watch them anymore. So we decided to end it after 24, and then we're working on some new awesome things for 2020.
That's fantastic to kind of hear a little bit about and reflect a little bit on that series. I'm really curious to kind of hear a little bit about the reception internally. Was this something that employees sort of embraced, both participating in and kind of watching or kind of consuming? Or was this something that sort of built over time?
So this is so funny that you asked that, because even today I was at an event, a birthday party for one of our employee resource groups downstairs, and two people came up to me who I've never met before, and they said, oh, you're Dina, I recognize you from your vlogs. And, you know, I get that periodically all the time, and it makes me feel so good, because it meant that they were watching it. It meant the people that I, it wasn't just my friends, like my people that are at work who like me are watching it. People that I don't know are watching this. And, you know, we get so many wonderful comments externally. I got so much recognition for these vlogs because we put them on our post and YouTube channel. And we, of course, link it out to our LinkedIn and our Twitter pages as well. So, you know, I got a lot of recognition for that externally too, which was wonderful. And internally, the comments, the likes, you know, it started off really strong. And the reason why we ended it the way we did was because I felt like it was not, I felt personally like it was kind of dragging a little bit, and I felt like I wanted to kind of stop it while it was on a high. And the reception, I think, has been great in terms of the engagement around it. And also, you know, the people that I reached out to each month, you know, Maren helped me a ton on these vlogs because, you know, it got to a point where I needed help. In the beginning, I was kind of one man band, but then when I brought Maren in terms of the helping me find people, you know, I didn't get that many. I got a few that was they were a bit like, no, you know, I don't want to be in front of a video, but majority they were happy to do it. And you know, at one point I was getting requests, people were asking me, oh, could we do a theme for your vlog around this particular theme, or could we have this particular topic 1 month kind of thing. So it wasn't me and the team kind of thinking up themes. It was people coming to us and saying, it'd be great to have a theme around this, and we could have this person come and talk. And, you know, the vlogs really were a team effort. Like, yeah, okay, I was in front of the camera and I was doing getting the content in and doing the editing. But we had, you know, Maren who helped sign it off. So she would do all of the helping me with the captions because, you know, accessibility is important. And she would help me find the people that would be in those vlogs. So it really was like a team effort for both of us.
Yeah, and I would just, got asked to be in a couple of them, and I don't like being on camera. So when Dina was talking about that part, I was kind of laughing a little bit because she did have to coach me a little bit. She did have to kind of talk me into it. I kind of wanted to be in it, but I didn't want to be in it. You know what I mean? It was that weird thing. Dina is great at giving clear, concise instruction. So, you know, you have to hold the phone a certain way to make sure you're, you know, the video is, it's landscape, right?
Yeah,
landscape, so that, you know, it fills the whole screen, all that stuff. She just was really patient, and and then she did fun things like for the first anniversary of the vlog, she did like a birthday thing, and so she had a song, and so she assigned different parts. And then for Christmas one, we did a sing along to Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You," and it was just fun stuff like that where you wanted to be part of it because you knew that this was going to be something that everyone was talking about. And it was, so it was really neat to see, and then see all the comments come in and all the likes come in and see it be a top piece of content that month. Like it was really, really cool.
And I think, Maren, you reminded me of when you said about kind of you were nervous about filming, is that there were times when people were nervous and all it took was for me to jump on a call with them and have them get to know me. Because, you know, if they've only just met me through an email and I've introduced myself as the person of the people of person blogger, and would you like to be part of my video, that's not an easy thing to read and be like, yeah, sure, unless you know who I am, right? So, you know, if I could feel that they were nervous in their response to me, I would just email them back and say, hey, do you want to have a quick like 10-minute catch-up? And we'd set up, obviously, because they're global, we'd set up a video conferencing call, and I'd make it super informal, and I would say to them, bring a cup of tea or a cup of coffee with you, and let's have a little chat, and they'll get to know me. And I think once they got to know me, and felt like it was really informal and it was really super, super kind of chill a little bit, then they were a little bit more receptive to being on the video because they met me in person as such, but virtually, and they could feel a bit more comfortable.
I have to say, now I'm super fired up about starting a vlog series.
Yeah. You totally do it.
Part of it is I've seen them and they're awesome. But then part of it is hearing you guys talk about it. And like, you obviously loved doing it. And it sounds like it was just such a fun, great sort of team exercise. And now I'm like, I put it on my to-do list. I love it.
You need to get it done. And it's so easy. I mean, when we're talking about how to start one, I've done a webinar around this as well. So I think I put it on LinkedIn I'm going to say a year ago, so it might be quite low down in my activity. But like, I did a webinar, and because people were asking me all the time, like, how did you do it? How did you even start? And obviously, technically, you need to have the equipment, right? You need to have a camera. It doesn't even have to be, like, I've got a vlogging camera, so I can actually flip the screen and see myself on camera. And that just helps me, because then I can see and make sure that I'm not like blurry or something like that. But like, you know, you don't need to have that kind of camera. You can, your phone is fine. As long as you put your phone in landscape mode, as Maren said, you're fine to film with your smartphone. In terms of like tripod, I've got tripods and cameras and stuff, lighting and things like that, but you don't need that. You just need a steady surface, right? Like, if you're just filming yourself, you can prop up your phone on a pile of books and just stand up your phone so it's steady, because you don't want shaky footage. You don't want shaky hands. Like, you can start this off in the most simplest way possible. And I use Adobe Premiere Pro for editing, because that's just my preference. But if you wanted to keep it super low key, you can use something like iMovies on Apple and things like that. Like, it doesn't have to be this massive production. I did it that way because I wanted my videos to be that way, and because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So like, I wanted what I put out to be like that. But if you're starting off small, you just have to start off small in terms of your equipment. And then the more comfortable you get, you can build on it. And I didn't pay for any training to use Adobe Premiere Pro. Like, I literally taught myself off of YouTube. Like, there was some 13-year-old kid in the US who was teaching me how to like add glitch effects and how to do mosaic effects on my Adobe Premiere profile. That's all it took, and I didn't pay a single penny towards that kind of training. It was all free, and I continued to learn that way as well. So, you know, when there's something new that I want to try, like say I've seen something really awesome on a video and I'm like, how did they do that? I just go to YouTube and I put these random, like, what I think it could be in, and YouTube will always deliver in terms of the results. And I'll someone somewhere in the world is showing me how to do it, and they do it a step-by-step guide. So like, I've got Adobe Premiere Pro open on one screen, and I've got the video playing on one, and I'm watching them and replicating it on my other screen, so I'm following it along with them and doing it that way. And that's just how I've learned ever since, basically. Whenever I'm going to do anything new or try anything new, I go to the free stuff first.
This has been such a great chat. We love to end every podcast with the same question, and the answers are my most favorite thing. What are your community superpowers?
So I don't know if Maren will agree with me on this, and Maren will have her own opinion, so I'll let her go and tell you hers as well. But like, the superpower is the people, right? Like, our community is nothing without its people. The stories that come out of our community from our people are absolutely amazing. Like, yes, we have our execs and our leadership doing their blogs and giving the company their updates, which is what our community is used for. Yes, we have groups in NEO that are for teams and business areas to kind of update their teams and what they're doing. Yes, we have shop windows for business areas to tell the whole business what they're doing. That's all wonderful, but you know what gets me every time is the stories from our people about their lives and about what they're doing and about what they're going through. And a couple of examples of that is, we've had people tell us about their mental health issues and talk about it really openly, about what they're struggling with and what they're going through. And the outpouring of like comments that people write back saying, I get it, I've been through it, and like, This is, I understand. That's powerful to me. The last week we had a wonderful conversation in our Generation Pearson employee resource group around, you know, women who are getting to a certain age and they're starting their menopause and how that affects their working life. And those conversations that sometimes people think might be a bit, you know, a bit risque to kind of post on the community, that's not the case for us at Pearson. We encourage people to talk about things openly, but do it in a decent way. We don't encourage people to write, like, you know, we don't encourage trolls or things like that, but we encourage people to tell their story, share their experiences. And every time someone has done that, every time someone has made themselves vulnerable and told their story, there has not been any negativity from anyone. And that, to me, is a superpower, because, you know, when you can do that, like, your community is always going to win, right? Like, you're always going to be a winner in that sense for me. I don't know. That's what I think.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I am going to tweak it a little bit to say that I think you're talking about the community superpower, and the question was about your superpower. So I would just say that it's your superpower that you are there facilitating those conversations, contributing to those conversations, making those conversations happen, and making the community a safe place for people to have those conversations. So you really contribute and make the community what it is. You know, you are 5 hours ahead of me. So a lot of times I wake up in the morning and there's a bunch of notifications from what Dina and Kim have been up to. And I like to read what Dina's commenting on, because that keeps me up to date on what's happening in the community. And, you know, she has found conversations I didn't know existed, and because of her comment, I know about it, and then I can contribute too. I'm going to leave that there. So I'm going to say that my superpower is words. I'm pretty good with words. I'm decent at getting that first draft out there. And then what I really like to do, though, is when someone gives me their first draft and then I can clean it up. I think it's much harder to write than it is to edit someone else's writing, and in my opinion. So it's great when Dina and Kim say, hey, I've got this communication ready to go. Do your thing. And so that's what I like to do, and to just make things really concise, consistent. I think it's important to be consistent, like through our help documents and things like that, so that people, you know, when you open a help document, you know what to expect a little bit. Yeah, so that's what I think I contribute to the community.
I love those answers, and I love your different perspectives on the question. It's why we sort of intentionally leave it a little bit vague, because I love how differently everyone answers the question. I know you're both busy. I know you're in two different time zones. This has been such a great conversation. And honestly, this is the first time we've had two teammates together, two coworkers together on a podcast. And Kelly and I have been back channeling. It's been so wonderful to hear both of your perspectives on the same things and that back and forth. So thank you so, so much for taking the time to do this with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. It's always nice to be able to take context and like have these conversations. And it is, as ever, always wonderful to do it with Maren.
Yes, this was great. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.